Despite his strong words, the minister knew dissolving their partnership was impractical. They were too far down the path, and the vice minister knew far too much. Fortitude could have him killed, of course, but that would only aggravate the one problem with his plan that he had yet to solve: the lack of a third Sanshum for their triumvirate of would-be hierarchs. Fortitude had a few candidates in mind, but none he was willing to trust with foreknowledge of their plot. Without a third, they would seem less legitimate. But the minister had resigned himself to making his selection after their announcement. It would have to be a Sanshum with popular appeal who could help deflect accusations of premeditation and ambition. And as such, he was even willing to consider the prophet of tolerance or the prophetess of obligation. There were precedents for such a holdover. But while keeping one of the current hierarchs on their throne might allow for a smoother transition, it wasn't an ideal long-term solution. Bitterness endured, even amongst seasoned politicians. Better to clear the boards and start fresh. On the far side of the airlock was a door to the dreadnought's hangar. This giant round portal's overlapping shutters were irised almost completely shut, leaving just a small heptagonal passage in the center of the door. Two final Megalagolo guarded this choke point from a scaffold that rose from the airlock's deck far below. These sentries displayed the shoulder spikes of a bonded pair, a colony with such a large population that all its worms could not fit inside a single suit of armor. The spikes rattled as the divided colony communed, confirming the two prophets' identities and appointment. Then the pair shuffled apart with low groans, the noise of the worms' rubbery flesh knotting and unwinding inside their armor. The hangar beyond was an immense triangular vault. Unlike the dreadnought's bleached exterior, its walls shone mirrored bronze in the light of countless holographic glyphs. These explanatory and cautionary symbols, arranged in tight vertical lines, floated near small holes in the hangar's angled walls. Although Fortitude knew what the holes were for, he had never actually seen them put to use. Hovering near the holes were hundreds of Huragak. The buoyant, bulbous creature's tentacles looked much longer than usual, but this was because they held individual Lakolo and were busy either stuffing the worms into the holes or pulling them out. The minister watched as four Huragak worked to muscle a particularly stout specimen from its hole, then carry it, like a fire crew on a hose, to a barge manned by white-robed and long-haired Sanshum. These ascetic priests helped the Huragak feed the Lakolo through a cylindrical scanning unit before returning it to one of many metal basins on the barge that contained its colony. The unit retrieved data from microsensors inside the worm that had collected all manner of useful data during its wriggle through the dreadnought's otherwise inaccessible processing pathways. These sensors caused the invertebrates no discomfort. The creatures ingested and passed the tiny devices, just as they did their gritty food. The priests were nonchalant as they supervised the process. But there had been a time when the prophets looked on the Lakolo's eating habits with angry condemnation. Soon after the Covenant's founding, Sanshum experiments with early copies of the dreadnought's luminary led them to a gas giant planet in a system near the Sangeli's home. The Sanshum had hoped to find a treasure trove of relics, and were disappointed when all they found were the Lakolo, huddled in the planet's rings. But when the prophets realized what the intelligent worms had done, they were appalled. The icy rocks that made up the rings were in fact fragments of some obliterated Forerunner installation that once orbited the gas giant. And the reason the rocks were no longer rich with relics was because the Lakolo had spent millennia ingesting them, chewing them up and spitting them out, as they carved their tight and twisting burrows. The odd thing was, the Lakolo had discerning palates. Some colonies would only ingest Forerunner alloys, others dined exclusively on rock rich in crushed and compacted circuits, and a few very rare colonies would avoid such foreign objects altogether, carefully cutting around battered remains of relics like paleontologists would a fossil. Of course, the Sanshum believed any unauthorized contact with Forerunner objects was heresy, punishable by death, and ordered the Sangeli to eradicate the worms. but the Sangheili were ill-equipped to fight creatures that had no ships or soldiers to speak of and whose fortifications were the very things they were trying to save. In the end, a particularly insightful Sangheili commander, one of the species' revered arbiters, suggested it might be better to tame the Lekolo and put their habits to good use. As eager as they were to assert their moral authority, the prophets begrudgingly agreed that the worms, properly trained, could be very useful in future reclamations, and they forgave the Lekolo's sins. After ages of experimentation on lesser relics, the Sanshum had finally gotten up the nerve to attempt an unprecedented exploration of the dreadnought. Since their departure from their homeworld, and even during the darkest days of their war with the Sangheili, they had limited their studies to the ship's easily accessible systems. While the Sanshum had been desperate to explore the processing pathways in the dreadnought's thick hull, they were terrified they might damage something vital. And so it was with great care that the ascetic priests had carved their first tentative hole and slipped in a carefully chosen Lekolo. They had waited in mortal terror for the worm to dig too deep, and more than that, for what the dreadnought's oracle might say. But the Lekolo emerged without incident, and the vessel's most high and holy resident hadn't said a word. The oracle's silence wasn't unusual. Fortitude had never heard of it speaking in his lifetime, nor had his father or his father before that. And when those pioneering priests had gotten no response, they gradually increased their Lekolo probes until, as was now clearly the case, the once frightful process had become mundane. Following an angled piece of scaffolding to the very top of the hangar, the minister watched as the Sanshum priests on the barge signed a series of orders to the waiting Huragak, and all parties made ready for the next retrieval. High above the hangar floor was a dark and silent abbey, large enough to accommodate the entire Covenant High Council, more than 200 Sangheili and Sanshum. But as Fortitude and Tranquility rose through a perfectly round hole in the abbey's floor, they saw the room had only one occupant, the leader of the ascetic priests, the philologist Sanshum.